Very, very famous Gemara. You probably heard this one as well. This is the Gemara where we have, right, the example of a chassid shokta. The Gemara asks, "Hechi dami chassid shokta, kigon the katava itita benahara, va'amar lav orach ara listekule ba ba'atzula." Right? Everyone familiar with this Gemara? Is a woman Nebuch drowning in the river. So what does the Chassid Shota say? He says, well, we all know histaklus is usur. I'm not allowed to look at a woman bathing or a woman swimming, and therefore he lets her drown. What?
Tears.
Save me, I'm drowning! Something like that. Oh, I can't look. Right? So that's the Chassid Shota. Right? So that obviously sends the message that, and Rav Moshe, you're going to see a truth from Rav Moshe, not only is he going to say, you can look, you can go in, and you can grab, and you can hug, do whatever it is. Anyone take jail, you know, life-saving courses? Any lifeguards here? So a big part of that is, I don't know if they still do it, in my day, when we did life-saving, there was like cross-chest carry and stuff like that. You still do that kind of stuff? Okay, so nothing's changed, but it definitely requires contact and very direct chibuk, right? So you're going to tell me I'm going to let the person drown because there's an isser Megiyah or something like that. So obviously, there is no Yad V'Yavra. We're going to get past that. But the question becomes, what about less than Pikuach Nefesh? Is the only heter for any of this scenarios of Pikuach Nefesh? How often do you think you're in a scenario of Pikuach Nefesh as requiring you to get involved in some issue of histaklus or Megiyah? Well, those who will not be physicians, probably, hopefully not outside of the context of marriage. But those who will be physicians will be encountering this all the time. Okay? Are there any other parnassas where this really comes up? What do you think? Let's say you want to be a lifeguard. Anyone a lifeguard in the summer? Does a firm guy have to avoid being a lifeguard? Dafka for boys. We'll see. What other scenarios? Let's say you need to walk in New York City down the street, and you know, I can either work in New Square or, you know, like some nice safe. New Square is like Mayor Sharon,
yeah,
or Times Square. Like, that was my line. You took my line. So, do I have to choose New Square over Times Square every time?
Seems like in a Gemara with like if you have two paths, you take the bad one. Then you should.
Good. We're going to learn that Gemara B'Yin a little. We're going to be learning that Gemara. Very nice. Very nice. You'll see it in a minute. In fact, you'll see it in less than a minute. Turn to page 3. You learned Bava Basra last year? I was going to ask, did anyone like go through Bava Basra a little? At least the third parak? Anyone learn the third parak? This is the third parak. Cheska Zabate.
Yeah, we did that.
All right.
Shout out.
I don't know. My 10th graders had a great time with it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rav. You remember that from last year? That's very good. Let me give you a little background, just in case you don't remember your Bava Basra. You need a little background to this. The first two prakim deal with shutfin and shutfin situations, right? So when there are people that are partners, shutfin in a chatzir or shutfin in something, so usually the shutaf partners are allowed to be ma'ake if somebody can do something damaging to the rest of them. So for example, let's say you share a courtyard with some other houses, and one guy, a wise guy, he wants to suddenly start a bakery right in the courtyard. So you could all stop him because of the damage that oven will do. And there are many other examples of any damaging thing one guy is going to do to the others can disallow him to do that. There isn't any democracy, there isn't any freedom of necessary. And it's true in secular law as well. You can't just do things, you need to get permits. And so that's the halacha. Are there any exceptions to that? So there's an exception right over here. Gemara says, "Bekol shutvin ma'akvin zedzeh." Every issue, the shutvin are allowed to stop each other from doing it. Chutz minakvisa she'ein darkan shabanos yisrael lihis vazos ala kvisa. So we'll start with that. What's that saying? So what's the one exception? Where can I not stop my neighbor from setting up something significant in the chutzir? When it comes to a kvisa, what's a kvisa? Like a laundry area, right? Big area for washing clothing. Why not? Anyone understands the word? Anyone? So, what was the mitzvah? What was the alternative to having your backyard laundry area? They would go to the river or some other body of water, and what would they have to do in order to get in there? So the women would have to, like, hike up their skirts or whatever they were wearing, and they would reveal Makomos Erva, right? What's Makom Erva, just in general? Any general rule? Any place that's normally covered is a Makom Erva in terms of histories. You're not allowed to look at a woman's calf, for sure, right? So the calves would be exposed.
Yes.
What?
I'm saying.
I know that in most dorms in North America, they're very mocked on this as well. But anyway.
Normal wear.
Sorry. What?
Normal to cover wear.
Normal parts of the body that are considered immodest if they're not covered, right? Now, of course, that's different depending on the society. But we're talking about Jewish girls. And the shok is definitely a place. So in order to protect her from that, so we say that she could definitely, no problem, we can. I could force you to let me have this thing in the backyard. Okay. But then here's where the Gemara gets interesting. The Gemara then continues. The Otsam Einav Miraus Vira. What is that pasuk referring to? Right? What do those words mean? Somebody tell me. Otsam Einav. Shield your eyes, close your eyes. Miraos Vira. From seeing evil. Right? So what's that pasuk referring to? The Gemara asks. Amar Achi Rav. Ze She'ein Mistaka Benoshim. Bishar She'omdos Al Hakvisa. So that's the guy who, when he walks by the public washing area, doesn't look. Right, because all these women are exposing their calves, and that's just not proper to do. Okay, so anyone notice a problem already with this? Because the Gemara doesn't like this pshat. Right? Otsam Einav Miraos Vira. This is a great person. Let me play up the pasuk a little. We're really like lauding the guy who, when he walks by the kvisa, doesn't look. If he's on us, then. Well, wait a second. We're lauding the guy.
But would it be honest? You can't be honest,
if you know it's there.
Is it a great thing he's doing, or is it an expected thing he's doing? That's problem number one, right? What do you mean he's a great guy? Of course you shouldn't look, right? So the Gemara goes, Heichidami, I de'ika dracha achrisa rashahu. If there's an alternative path, the guy's a loser. What do you mean honest? What's he walking by the public visa when he could easily go to New Square? What's he going over there for? Alternatively, Idaleka Dracha Achrisa Onosu. And if he had no other choice, then he's pure Onos. So who's this guy that it's a great thing that he shouldn't look? So Gemara says the following. La'olam Daleka Dracha Achrisa. Absolutely, he has no choice but to go there. What does that mean? He has no choice but to go past the women in the kvisa, where they're exposing themselves. Right? And yet, I'm lauding him. Why am I lauding him? What does that mean? That means that, what? He's on us. And if he's on us, therefore, good luck. The baseline is this. The guy I'm not lauding, who's just doing okay, who's doing right, neutral, is the guy who goes by, because he has no choice, right? Why am I working in Times Square instead of New Square? For some reason I have no choice. And I'm exposed to all this schmutz, right? So, I'm honest, I can't, what am I supposed to do? Walk in Times Square not looking? You'll be dead within 5 minutes. Either a car will hit you, you'll be mugged, I don't know, something's going to happen, right? So, he's honest. So there is not a big. But this guy's great. Why is this guy great? Why is Tehillim? Why is Yishayahu? Who's Yishayahu? Why is he being lauded by the Navi? Because despite the fact that he's honest and he really could be acting normally, walking by normally, and then maybe glancing by accident, this guy goes out of his way when he doesn't have to. Midas Chasidus, and he doesn't look. So what does this mean? This means that if you're in a situation, now it certainly applies. Because we have to then take this to its natural conclusion.
How can you learn halacha from the pasuk in Yirmiyahu or wherever?
It's the Gemara we're learning from.
I'm saying, how does the Gemara learn halacha from that?
Well, it's a very fundamental question you're asking. when you have something that's either an asmachta or some kind of lima that's coming out of the pasuk, what came first? Right? You're taking a stand on it, which I don't think is actually the rove. In other words, I would say the agenda was there when they found the pasuk. Not necessarily that the pasuk. Or alternatively, I'm wrong.
But they have to have an alternative.
But there's both shitas exist.
They have to have an alternative source for their agenda.
They could have said the Masorah, or in other words, like you're right, we'd have to get to the roots of this halacha. It's an interesting endeavor, but both shitas exist. Just to answer your question, really, there's some people that say that these kind of things are really built into the psukim, like it's the Ritva, Meshishana, Def, Tesvav. And then there's the other shita that says, like, the Rambam, they needed mnemonics and things to solidify the thing. And the Ritva called the Rambam, but not the courses and the whole thing. All right. But for our purposes, it really sets the stage for something. Because let's say now, we'll start, before we get to lifeguards, are going to be harder, and other vocations are going to be harder. But doctoring is really an issue. When a person is involved in any field where they have to end up seeing women in compromised positions, seeing the stockless, or if they want to be, let's say, a lifeguard, right? Let's get into the hashkafa a little bit. Do you have to avoid these type of misyonos and just take a different job? That's really a fundamental question. Whereas I'm telling you, if you go into medicine, you are going to be dealing with these kind of misyonos all the time in big ways, which we'll get to, even bigger than just seeing, right? It'll be big time misyonos. So is it not a nice job for a good Jewish boy? What?
I'll get Jewish boys and doctors.
Yeah, so there's got to be some way out of this. But it's not, Rav Shachter would say, yes, it is not a good job for a good Jewish boy. But others don't agree. And we have to kind of find some common ground there. But what about other jobs? Rav Moshe, what I want you to see is if you turn to page 4, this is Negros Moshe's take on this entire issue. He makes a lot out of that sugya that we just looked at. He very much focuses on this sugya. And he's... This is on page 4 of the handout, Igros Moshe in the Nezer. And it's worth reading through it very quickly. Hine, al ha-histaklus belo miskaven lehanos. Af shiavo mizalide hira v'hana. What's the situation we're talking about? Is the guy looking for it? This isn't like Mr. Taiva from Sanhedrin, right? They're innocent things, right? I'm doing my job, right? You know, like I work, I'm an electrician, and I have to go to the town pool. Or if I'm a whatever, I'm doing my job. I'm going over, and it's unavoidable. There's going to be a stop list. I'm going to see something. So I'm not going for the hana, but certainly the risk is there. So he says, in those kind of cases, he says, "Yesh rayos mefurashos shenitcha b'nei pikuach nefesh." So he starts with pikuach nefesh. He says, "I'll give you rayos that if it's pikuach nefesh situation, of course there's no problem." And he quotes Sota and the Chassid Shota. Ubara she'afim barila. Listen to this one. This is an important one to know. Even if you're positive that you will get into trouble in this situation, absolutely, for pikuach nefesh, it's going to be okay to save the lives. Right? It's because you're not... Why are you getting into the situation? Is it, again, the taiva that's motivating you? No, you're going in... Your motivation is the hatsala. And then, mimela, this, even if you're sure it's going to happen, but still, your initial motivation is the overriding consideration. Then he goes and he ups the stakes a little. The af shemichuyev gam ligaba ulechabka biyadav af shemegia begufa whom he loved the kreva. We're talking about something that the Rama said is yahagva yavor shulav the gilo yarayas nira pashat ishim de etzem anegia the achibok eno mishim chiba the iser de chibok venishok the kolegia urak kisha oseder taiba. So who's he quoting? He's quoting that shach. And he's learning the way we learned it before, which is very comfortable. But now he goes down to the bottom paragraph. Ugedolim izer, matzino bebava vasra. She amar, and he quotes the sugya. I'm going to go all the way down. Dere efshar lo shelo leilach klal l'sham. Here's a situation where the guy has, in the first case, the leicha dracha chrichle eno onos, right? Dere efshar lo shelo leilach klal l'sham. He says, we call this guy honest, who doesn't have another pathway, but he didn't have to go there at all. He says, "The av shetzarich lelech l'sham the parnasaso, the avodaso, Ulishard Sarachov, Mabakach. Who cares? You should give it up, not to have to. We know that when it comes to a lav, you have to give up your whole parnosa. So maybe the answer should be this. None of us could be doctors, none of us could be lifeguards, none of us could be dressmakers, none of us could be all the things that potentially, none of us can work downtown where there's going to be this issue, right? Because if what's at stake is losikrevu and the lav, we should be chayiv to give up our parnasa, right? There's no limit. So that's what he's going to say if you continue on page 5. Onis mamon ein onis litchos yisurin velachen tzarech lomar tekevan de ha'isur hurak mishum. Why would there be a difference here? Why is that not our conclusion? Somebody. What's the chashash here? What's the chashash? Is the chashash losikrevu? What am I worried about with this guy? What am I worried about? Anyone whose work involves seeing women undressed. I'm worried that I might. What do you say?
Didn't we already say Torah but after?
It's going to be an advantage for Yichud, right? And it's going to be an advantage for this, right? That's going to be part of the same idea, right? Right. Well, all these things. What's the chashash? The chashash is these things might come to bring me to be Maharim, right? It's much different than the secret. So he therefore says, "Lachen tzarech lomar the kaven that isu urak mishum chashash sheyavo lidehir rashai lisvoch al atzma." That's the key words, and these are going to be the key words for this entire sugya. Rashai lisvoch al atzma. Here's the bottom line answer for anyone entertaining any kind of job where they might come into this type of exposure. You're allowed to do it if you trust yourself. The entire achrayus of this decision is on you. It's an amazing halacha, but it's absolutely true. For example, I've counseled guys that want to go into OBGYN. That's a field where there's incredible misyonos. A guy who's not really, really confident in himself should not go into that field. Absolutely. Regular medicine, other fields, where there's less levels of nisayon. So let's say a lower level guy can go into it. But you still got to be sure that that's not going to cause you trouble. And whatever you're going to do, Reb Moshe is telling you, the chashash is here. This is not like a lab, but it's a chashash of coming to think about something, of coming to be affected by something where you need to know yourself, and that's going to dictate what the psak is. So let's say, all things being equal, the pay is the same, right? Let's put it this way, the pay is the same, and there's no specific, distinct advantage to one over the other. Why on earth would he choose the co-ed one?
I want to go through different scenarios.
Let's start with a scenario where there's no difference. So, why is this guy choosing co-ed? Obviously he wants it, right? So that guy for sure shouldn't do it, right? He's upfront kind of telling me, you know, not only am I, is there a chash here about this guy, he's like already having the hero, right? So let's get rid of him. Okay. Now, there's a guy who the money's better. Let's say the money's better. Am I a bad Jew if I chose to go to the co-ed one where there was better money than the non-co-ed one? It depends on this. In other words, you got to be really knowing yourself. It's a big achrayus. I'm telling you, and this is really true for guys going into medicine. It's one of the Nishmas Avram, when he writes, when he gives his lectures, he comes in basically now and he wreaks havoc for all the pre-meds. I hope he's... I mean this with the utmost respect for Avram Safram. He's my hero, Avram Safram, right? But one thing I know is that when he's through in YU, I'm going to get 15 phone calls. Why? Because what he basically does is he just like... He found it to be his mission in life to turn people off going into medicine. And the reason is because he sees all the halachic challenges and thinks that, like, he's very into the Rav Schechter approach now. He's really discouraging people. So everyone comes in, well, you gotta understand, he comes into YU and he's like a author of Nishmas Avraham, and he's a very famous guy, and he's a big Talmud Chacham. And all the pre-meds that are into learning flock over, and they're all excited. And then he just destroys them. It's always like such a funny thing to watch. But at the end of the day, so here's one of his biggies. he gets into this topic very, very heavily. And if you're a person who can't handle it, just realize that being part of being a doctor is exposure to things. Right? And other things too, other fields too. But the bottom line is on making these decisions, you have to know yourself. You are not chayev to give up the more money because of this shash, unless you have any potential for problems to come from it. Boy, you're taking a bit of chayev, so you gotta understand. You choose to make the wrong decision, you're in big trouble.
No one trusts in the rice,
huh? Huh? In the matzav itself. In the matzav itself.
Right.
You're not going to be miyachid with anyone. You can't break the halacha. We had halachas of yichud that are very important. You got to adhere to them. Here we're worried about hearers. So, you know, I don't know, a guy who's sitting an entire hours and hours. I think a lifeguard's in a lot more trouble than a doctor, right? You know, lifeguards.
Sitting watching them.
Yeah, what are they doing? At least the doctor's involved in something. So I would say that doctors have much more leeway. It'd be very harder to find the heter for the lifeguard. So the bottom line on that, how many of us can really say, oh, nothing's going to happen to me? Unless you're not doing your job and you're looking at the sky or something. Right? You're supposed to be looking in the pool.
I didn't hear you shouting
for help. Right? So, you know, lemaisa, it's not too often a firm guy should be a co-ed lifeguard, if at all. You know? So... There are exceptions.
One
is like
for
kids. Stifler, Hankani, yes. Yeah, so then you can make this cheshva much more easily. That'd be a great example. In other words, like, then I could say to myself, yeah, I can honestly say there's no chashash with me and 8-year-old kids, you know, Baruch Hashem. Right? And then I would say that cheshbon could be made. Even though mi'ikar adin, there is a chash, right? But that one, probably a guy could honestly come up with, I'm safe, right? In achinam. You know, I don't know, the counselor's around, like what's going on. But in achinam, if the scenario is appropriate, then you can make it. But what I want to emphasize, at the end of the day, on this halacha, this is what it comes down to. It's an amazing thing. You're going to see application of this that goes beyond this.
So what about, like, is a girl allowed to be from a life that she has...
Yeah, girls, the histakless rules by girls are like ejected.
Right.
You don't know girls well enough, apparently.
Could she be a life expert if a guy is going?
Right, so she, right.
Not for,
it is 100%,
for her to,
it is 100% lifnei iver for girls. Oh, wait. Very sneaky. That's my 230 chavrusa over there. Can I finish up the handout? What do you say?
What do you say, Ash?
Soft, dude.
Yeah,
put some pressure up, guys. I really want to finish this topic.
Yeah, don't worry. 240.
Really quick.
Ash isn't even here.
I just want you to see that this isn't only Rav Moshe, the Achron. He's not the only one who's purporting this idea that it's up to the achrayus of the person. Take a look at page 6. The Pesukei Teshuva quotes, this is from the Nishmas Avram. He quotes the Ritva. And the Ritva made the same comment. Hakol lefi das v'yira shamayim v'chein hilchasa d'hakol kefi ma sha'adam makir ba'atzmo sh'yitzro nichne v'chofuflo. It's an amazing thing. This is already in the times of the Rishonim, the same notion. That in these type of issues, on the right column, page 6, right side, number 1, arrow, the Ritva himself is saying the same thing. And he says below, that Eila she'ein roi lahaka b'zeh Eila l'chassid gado ulachen me'od me'od tzarich ha'rofe o kol mi she'tzarich l'tapel b'isha, the rofe or anyone else who has to deal with this type of issue, li'zar she'yu kol machshavosav al etzem melachto k'kol kavanosav ach v'rach b'avodaso avodas ha'kodesh. Great. Then he gives advice that I think a great advice is a finality to this issue in terms of he says it. And I'll tell you a story about what happened. If you have one cardinal rule, and this really applies to doctors, that you are going to always respect the feelings and sensitivity of the patient, you'll never run into trouble really with this. I'll give you one classic example. When it comes to, let's say, listening to hearts or listening to lungs with a stethoscope, right? So this is for everybody. It's not just a doctor thing. But listen to this. You should know this in case you have mothers, wives, sisters, daughters, that are ever by a doctor. I just want you to hear this. One of the things they teach you is when you use a stethoscope, if you want to like pass your practical exam, never put the stethoscope on clothing. You really want it to work and get the the fine tones and the sounds, make sure you use stethoscope against skin. Because that happens to be the most meduyuk way of doing a auscultatory examination, listening to somebody's breath sounds or heart sounds. So that they drum this into you, you're going to fail if you ever don't do that, and the whole thing. Then comes to real life. Right? Now I'm a cardiologist. I'm not to put down all other doctors, but I'm about to. I've never met, yeah, maybe I don't want to say this publicly. That was pathetic, right? You know. Perfect time.
Wait, what? Why can't they exclude themselves?
Who? The woman?
Why can't they help themselves? Why do you have to
help? No, no, that you need to do. If you want to hear right. Because, we'll go into scopatory training later. But there are high-pitched sounds, there are low-pitched sounds. They take a different... you press hard for high-pitched sounds, you're softer for low, whatever, don't worry about that. But the bottom line is, I'm just giving that as one example of where it is in your power to minimize the situation, and you really should. That's what he makes a big deal out of in the top paragraph. On the bottom, he makes even a more important point. And here's one that everybody in every field, not only medicine, should be aware of. Whenever you're in a position, if you're in a position of servicing someone else, or you're the upper hand, so one thing you will find is that women out there in the secular world are very, for lack of a better expression, flirty, right? And there's a little callous roche that ensues. And it's very much in medicine all the time, right? Especially if you're dealing with young women and a young, handsome doctor, right? They start to flirt. And the temptation is to participate. And that's a tremendous mistake. And the initials of is warning against it. You know, it happens all the time. You have to balance two things. You have to balance being professional, right, and not doing that, but warm and sensitive. You don't want to be cold, right? So that's not an easy thing to do, because good doctors are warm and sensitive, right? And this brings me to a final nakuda that the initials of brought up, that somebody here, and I forgot who it was, asked me last week, and it's exactly one of the focuses of initials of Ramba. What about if and this could be even a non-medical situation. Let's say there's a woman in distress, and she needs you to hold her hand to calm her down. Who asked me that question? Well, you asked me that question. Excellent. So I want to skip ahead, even though we're skipping a few things. This goes to Nagia, right? On page 7 and 8 is one of the most famous shachs ever in terms of this shaila, where he says basically that if it's in the context of a medical necessity, you obviously are allowed to be over on the Giyah, and even of an Arayus, even of an Ashes Ish, even of
but a husband for...
A husband for Nida. A wife, Nida, is, what do you think, better or worse?
Worse.
Child, why?
Childbirth also, though.
Why is a husband worse?
Because
why is it more asa? Because there's a chash of Derech Taiva, that he's coming in Derech Taiva, as opposed to the doctor who's been malachto, or wherever it is, the Good Samaritan who's been malachto, so they're more allowed to do it, right? Feel the pulse, make sure the person's alive. I don't need to be doing CPR, so whatever it is. So it's chassid chote who doesn't touch, right? But we're more machmir by the husband. We're a little more machmir by the husband. So childbirth, I'll tell you my funny story. Childbirth, we are absolutely machmir on. Absolutely machmir on. I remember the first time I encountered this, my first child, Avigal. When Avigal was born, so she was born in the hospital where I was working. I knew all the nurses, I knew everyone. So I'm in there, and my wife, as women in labor do, is screaming, help me, pain, you know, like, you know, you should all be zochet to children, but the least fun part is this. You're powerless, and you can try all the lamas and the breathing and the this and the that. Basically, my wife goes to me when I start with the breathing thing, she says, Allie, why don't you jump out the window? you breathe. She goes, you breathe. I said, no, breathe slowly in it. Out the window and breathe. But I can't touch her. You want so badly, they're like, it's okay. And the nurses are looking at me like, what the hell? What's wrong with this guy? But it's absolutely usher, under this real nida, it's mamish, totally usher. To the point where what ended up happening is, like, so finally the nurse shoves me out of the way. Like, I'm standing there and I'm trying to be supported in a non-physical way, which is very difficult, but there is no choice. Throws me out of the way and takes my wife's hand. Go explain it to her. You know, but Enachinam, that's an important caveat to all of this. As a doctor, I can hold the woman's hand. When I was a medical student, right, I was able to hold the woman who was in labor that way and help her. Now that's what brings me to this heter. So let's just look quickly to, where is it? We'll end with this. Is page 10. Page 10. That's where he gets into it. So on the left side, he's talking about this scenario. He says, "Mutter kol shemlachta hu osek ve'eno derech taiva v'chiba ve'eno nanam. V'lachen shamati mi moreinu harav agon." Who knows who this is? Who's this? Who's the author of? Shmir Shabskil, right? Shemutter l'rofe la'oded ul'hagia chola mipochedes osoveles gam b'negia b'yada o'berosha. U'poshut gam shemutter l'rofe l'kachet yada that, of course, is pashut. But he's saying you can go further just to give the comfort and solace to a woman who's hysterical. He's allowing you to do that. And then it gives a little light, so you should try to do it with not direct skin contact.
In any context?
But, no, in other words,
glove count or no?
You got to be there to understand this. You know, you haven't been in such a situation, but I'm telling you that the first situation you might encounter is, you know, as a husband, but then it's also for you. You won't be able to do it. But outside of the context of your own wife, where we are worried that it's derech chiba, the taiva, etc., and then we get more machmir, in any other context, an hysterical woman can be calmed down. This happens on airplanes, I'm telling you, like I've encountered it there. I had this woman, she was, it was amazing. They, you know, the call over for the doctor thing, right? Are there any doctors in the airplane? Please come up. Right?
Really?
So I go up, like I'm always like naive enough to be the guy to go up. So what do they need me for? So an hysterical woman. She was hysterical. So I calmed her down. Like I went to 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency, 3 years of fellowship to do that, right? You needed me. I said to them, I said, she just needs to calm down. So, you know, I took her and I calmed her down. She was like jeopardizing the whole plane. I felt it was pure leverage. I had no child that I was allowed to calm her down. But if the situation calls for it, and believe me, somebody who's really in danger, the psychological factors are incredibly important, and halacha recognizes that. So that's an important bit of idea. Lamaisa, though, the other take-home message in terms of this issue is know yourself. Know yourself. When these discernments come up, in whatever the context they're going to come up, make sure you're ready for them. And you should not take on things where you're going to blow it. So... unless it's pikuach nefesh, these things remain in the category of this. All right. Finish with this topic. Right? There is more, actually, that is nogea to specifically doctors that I'm not doing. Because I really... how many people are pre-meds here? Just so I always have that in mind. It's really just half. Right? So I want to keep it as broad as possible. So we have how many times left?